Welcome to Fear the Boot, episode 14. And as you probably already guessed by the lack of intro music, this is kind of a different episode for us. Right now, I am sitting behind the wheel of my car. I don't know how safe this is, and I don't know what a cop's going to think if he's driving down the street and sees a guy driving along holding a big old like studio mic in front of his face behind the wheel. But we are on our way back from Gen Con, and you're going to have to bear with us because we're going to be playing past the mic, because since I'm in the car, I don't have the full studio setup here. I just have one mic running into a digital voice recorder. But we are going to tell you about our Gen Con experience.
All three hours gone wrong.
All right, so let's do the introductions. Chad, go ahead and say a little bit.
Hi.
Take the microphone and talk.
Hi, this is Chad. We spent a whole 3 hours at Gen Con. It was really wasn't our bag. But here, I'll give the mic to Adam. Let him say a few words.
I believe we spent more time on the way up here than we did at the actual convention. Dan?
Okay, so if you guys want to talk, you just kind of motion at me or something, I'll move the mic over. This trip started out, this is actually our first time ever going to Gen Con. And there may be some of you at home like, what? You know, this is your first time going to Gen Con. This is the gamer thing. But part of the problem is that when we were really, really big into the role-playing games that were coming out, this was like 10 years ago. And Chad and I were back in high school, didn't have any money, didn't have any way to get to Gen Con. And since I've had that opportunity or been in that position, we just haven't really had a reason to go until this year when a bunch of groups got together, a bunch of podcasts got together, and decided to have something called Gen Con Almost Live, which, by the way, you can find that feed at genconlive.dragonslanding.com.
And it almost happened.
Yeah, and it's, as Adam just said, it almost happened, at least for us. I'm sure they're still doing it. So go over there and check it out. These other podcasts have been really supportive of us. So whether we appear on that feed or not, because our experience went awry, we do certainly support what they're doing. But to tell you about our experience, so we got some emails about this Gen Con Almost Live thing, and we're pretty excited to get out here, hoping to meet up with the other podcasters and maybe run into some of our listeners. So we got Fear the Boot shirts made up so we'd be easy to recognize, and came up here, and just kind of one thing after another went semi-wrong. Our trip was pretty poorly organized to begin with, which this is 100% our fault. So take this as a guide on how not to do Gen Con. But we came up here really with very little organization. Just because of other things going on in our lives, we were not able to spend the weekend here. So we just came up on Saturday. And when we got here, we had... Well, Chad, you want to take over from it?
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I was going to say that we knew that it would go bad from the start, because Adam came over to my house and picked me up. We're both tired, and we're driving.
Hungover.
And Adam was hungover, and we're driving to his place. And halfway there, we almost died in a fiery car wreck. It was a very close call. There was swerving into other lanes. There was yelling. There was a median. It was like we had a choice. Or Adam, I should say, had a choice within a split second to either take the wall or take the car that was merging into us. And there was honking of the horn, there was me yelling, and luckily, and the guy was kept coming. And luckily, he realized just in time that, we seem to be slowing down. I wonder if we saw a cop. But there's a...
We're safe drivers.
Yeah. So that was one of three near wrecks. And this just wasn't somebody cut us off either. I mean, this was almost a fiery wreck. That was the first of three almost wrecks that we had when we came up here. So, we get to Dan's, and I'll hand it over to him now.
All right, so we got a little bit of a late start from my place, but no big deal. There was supposed to be a podcasting thing going on about 12:30, and so we're like, all right, we leave St. Louis. It's only about 3.5-hour drive, so we can make it in time. But we forgot that Indiana's not in the central time zone. Indiana's the start of the eastern time zone.
We're so smart!
So, yeah, in our great brilliance, we were dead on time to be here at 12:10, except 12:10 was 1:10. And by the time we got there, the place where they said we were going to meet up, we couldn't find anyone. And the people at the hotel kind of ran us out. I mean, they just, it's not that we were doing anything. We just walked through, and it's just kind of a snobby place, and they just kind of, what do you want? Where are you going? You know, if you want to go to a restaurant, you can't go through here, and kind of threw us out. So we went back to Gen Con, walked around for a while. Didn't really, I mean, we don't know what any of these other podcasts look like. With very few exceptions, we don't know what our listeners look like. So we were just hoping someone would see the shirts and kind of say something. But we're not that big of a podcast, which we know. So just didn't happen. And for really lack of certainty, what else to do? Because, I mean, we just don't want to sit around the con all day staring at walls waiting for people to hopefully recognize us. I mean, that's kind of like pathetic teenage date sort of thing. So
hanging out at the wall.
Yeah. So we just...
You saw some people like that.
We took off and headed back. But I guess what we can do is two things. First of all, if you're going to a con, be better organized than we were. Have a plan about how you're going to get there, what time you're supposed to be there, how you're going to meet people. Parking was terrible.
Oh, parking was... Parking was a... I just want to start... I just want to start cussing at the parking situation in downtown Indianapolis. We ended up parking at a college parking lot and walking, what would you say, about a half mile?
That was about a mile.
About a mile to get to the con center. We drove around there for easily 20, 30 minutes. We were going to businesses, museums, we were going to hotels, we were going to parking garages. Everywhere was full. And, of course, it was full because it was a Saturday. It was downtown Indianapolis, and there was a major convention going on. Still, not enough parking down there. Not even close. So that was yet another problem we had.
No, he's not kidding. I mean, everything was either a lot full or a lot closed to the public. And I was kind of appalled. I mean, you think for an event like this, you'd have a little bit of a better parking situation. But yeah, we drove on for a long time, finally parked at a university. Of course, by the time we got back to a car, we had a ticket on it. The ticket was issued by the university itself. Since I live two states away, and I don't think the university has any real jurisdiction, you'll say we're not going to pay this, but...
You jerk!
I know, we're lawbreakers.
You just lost your lawful Dan.
That's a chaotic good right there, buddy.
Woohoo.
Way to go.
So, I can't say this has been a bad trip. I mean,
no.
It's not like we haven't gotten in a wreck or gotten in a fight with somebody or anything like that. It's just been a very, very...
Oh, I see a sign for Boot City. Okay, Fear the Boot City. Never mind. Oh,
is there a Boot City coming up here?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Another thing I want to say is that Gen Con was fine. You know, Gen Con was really cool. There was nothing there that I'd never been there before. None of us had ever been there before. And of all the things that people told me, everything was true. I mean, it's a gaming con, tons of gaming. My problem with it is not a problem with Gen Con itself, but my problem is, in fact, a problem with myself that we've discussed on past episodes. I don't game with strangers. I don't really game in public. I don't know. That's just me. I really am not the type of person who can, like, sign up for something and then go and sit down and game a role-playing game with a well-developed character for a couple hours at a convention then never talk to these people again. I don't know. Maybe the experience is different. But just for me, that's how it was. And so there was really no point, and I would assume that you guys feel the same way, more or less, about that, or...
Yeah, I'm kind of with Chad on that one, and we've talked, as you said, we've talked about this before, because we're kind of snobs with the way we game, that we have real specific things we like to do, that it's hard for us just to jump in with a bunch of strangers and do that. I guess I could do it with, like, certain games, like strategy games or tabletop games. But even then, because I've had some people, you know, get kind of immature about that sort of thing, or overly competitive or whatnot. But, you know, the main reason we came up here, I realize this is a gaming con. And, you know, we certainly like gaming things. But in this particular situation, the reason we came up here wasn't for the gaming stuff. It was really for the podcasting stuff, which just... You know, we probably didn't take enough steps to get organized right or make sure we had all the details and this, that, and the other. So, just didn't come down right. Now, though we did not make this one real well, I want to remind everyone that October 5th through the 8th, we will be at Archon in Collinsville, Illinois, which is right across the river from St. Louis, Missouri. You can find details at archonstl, archonstl.org, and they'll have stuff on that convention, so we will be there. Gen Con next year, what do you think, Adam?
I could see going to it. I mean, I got the impression just walking through that it wasn't something that we're really into, but we did just kind of walk through it. I'd have to give it a full weekend before I completely wrote it. I could see coming back. We'll see what happens next year. If I got infinite money, we'll that's a nice vacation.
Yeah. I imagine there's a lot of stuff that we missed. I mean, Adam and I are really into anime, and I know that there's some anime stuff there. There were some people in costume, which was really cool. And in fact, I tell you what, all you people who went to Gen Con or go to Gen Con, go to our forums at feartheboot.com and tell it. Yeah, put up some pictures or tell us what we missed. Again, we were only there for 3 hours. Didn't seem like our bag. The con was fine. We're not bitching about the con. It wasn't our thing. But like I said, what did we miss? What are some things that we should, if we were to go back next year, that we should actually check out and look for?
We also found out about this podcasting event fairly close to Gen Con. I don't think it's maybe more than about 1 or 2 months in advance. And so as a result, and you know, I don't blame the other podcasters because I don't know when they started playing it, but quite frankly, this podcast hasn't been around all that long. But when we got there, we just really weren't prepared. We did not have a room. We were not able to take off work because it just came too quickly for us. So we weren't able to spend the days up here. And like Chad said, and Adam said, I mean, we didn't really see much. We just kind of walked through. And now, one thing I did notice about it is compared to the other gaming, fantasy, sci-fi, anime cons I have been to or talked to people that have been to, this one seemed really low-key. And what I mean is that there was not much drunkenness, at least that I saw, in the main con area. There was a little bit of freak show going on, but there really wasn't all that bad compared to some things I've seen. Yeah, Adam,
if you want to see a nice freak show, come to Anime Central. I mean, the costumes that you guys see at Archon and Gen Con, nothing. Have you ever seen those short skirts in anime? Every single chick at the con is in one of those. It's good times.
See, that used to be a lot scarier because you got the freak show going on at some of the other cons back in, you know, when I was younger. And this is when gaming was not cool, and you did not want to see these women walking around in chainmail tops and leather miniskirts, but you know, now it's not so bad anymore. It can be, but it's not always.
So, I guess that's enough about Gen Con. I mean, I think in the end it was kind of we dropped the ball on our side. Maybe we'll try it again next year, maybe not. I don't know, but definitely we're going to go whole hog on our con because that's in our neck of the woods. And we got some panels lined up that we're going to do, and we're going to be doing media coverage of the con itself and such. So, you know, we'll see how that rolls. We'll see how that rolls out. Do you guys want to talk about a non-Gen Con role-playing game subject here? Kind of try and take this into an actual episode?
You got something? If you don't have something, I got something.
Go ahead.
All right. Okay. You know, one of the things we were going to talk about last time and on episode 13, and we just didn't get to, is players who play multiple characters. All right? And let me explain what I mean by that. I'm not talking about a player who, like, summons an elemental and the elemental goes and smashes things. What I'm talking about is when you have one player who either plays multiple PCs, or he or she has a retainer that takes a real active role in the plot, something that has the meat and potatoes of an actual character, but allowing a person to play several of them. What are the ins and outs of that?
Personally, and this is just a personal thing, as a player, I don't really care for it. I like to focus on one character and put all my energy and emotion into one character. But that's not to say that I disallowed as a GM or that I don't actually... Uh-oh, slowing down again. Do we see a cop?
I don't know.
That's
there's
not a cop.
Like
yeah. So, back into warp. So, anyway, what was I saying here? Oh, yeah, as a GM, I allow it. I think it's a good thing. And in fact, in games that I've run, the players that I've had, especially Adam sitting here, has done that so well. And it has been so good. Adam, why don't you...
Well, when I do it, what I really try and do with the characters is there is some basic administration work that needs to be done for the group. And you've got your big paladin warrior who slaughters the evildoers. That dude doesn't sit behind the desk. That dude doesn't work out the logistics for the party. He's not in there in the inn buying the bread. You have a guy for that. And then, you know, that guy's a utility guy. It's really just a tool for the GM to use. All right, everybody's busy, so we need someone to go do this. All right, well, it doesn't really require skill to walk into the inn and buy bread. So we send this dude to go do it. Well, while he's in the inn, he hears this. Oh, well, okay.
And then all of a sudden you have to jump
yeah,
in.
Yeah, then you got to jump into that guy, yeah. Yeah, I've done it. I think I've had four characters at once switching back and forth.
Not to get too much into a gaming story, too, but you had one of these guys who was just your administrative guy you picked up. One of your characters got totally incapacitated. I mean, just basically, well, he was toilet bound for several days. And, and Adam just took over playing this other guy, and he totally developed the guy out. And I think it's a good thing. As long as you either say to the game master or the party, just sort of let it generally be known that these extra characters are either A, just quote henchmen or whatever, and
they're not a human shield.
Right.
That's a big part of it. Well, I'm not taking six guys to attack in one round. I'm only playing one character at a time.
Yeah.
That's the big part of
it. Yeah. It's not. The Game Master doesn't look at these characters and say, okay, these are just your guys. The Game Master can look at these guys and say, hey, these are NPCs that I could do as well. Or you put a lot of detail into the character. You put as much effort into your side characters as your normal characters.
Categorically speaking, I see two potential blocks of problems you can have. Problem number one is that you don't get very deep with those characters. That because you have two or three or four characters, you don't make them that deep, or you write them that deep, but you cannot head bounce well enough to develop them. Or in the process of head bouncing, trying to play the different personalities, you get lazier and lazier and take more and more shortcuts as the campaign goes on. And I think similar to that, kind of in that same category, if you're not really making the characters all that deep, it gets very easy to make them disposable, that you stop playing them with any sense of in-character realism. It's just kind of, you just send them in to set off traps and get killed. Block problem number two I see is a purely paperwork one of it is hard to keep track of that many character sheets and to keep their stuff distinct. And I think it is also hard in combat, because if you've got everybody around the table has retainers and henchmen, this, that, and the other, you hit combat, and suddenly what should have been a 15, 20 minute, half an hour combat takes 2.5 hours because you've got 50 guys in your party, even though there's only three players. And of course, the game master's got to throw at you 50 enemies to balance that out. And this kind of gets into a phenomenon we called Wild Kingdom after the old animal show, where we would have people in second edition D&D that would have trained pets and summoned pets and animal companions and this, that, and
familiar.
Everyone had a zoo in tow. And it just really started to bog things down. Is there anything else you guys want to add to problems? Not good size, but problems with this.
Problems. No, because I have a good side on the Wild Kingdom I want to add. So.
All right, why don't you go with... I got some good sides, too. I have some good stories, and then we'll go into tips about how you can make this a good thing, not a bad thing. So, Chad, go ahead.
Well, on the good thing, especially with Wild Kingdom, I think that pets can really add a lot of flavor to a character. And I myself, if you know me in real life, you know I'm not an animal lover. I do not like pets and animals. I'm just not a pet person. Best dog I ever owned was in a role-playing game. I loved this damn dog. His name was Comet. And I could never play him. I could never bring him into another game. He died in one of the campaigns. It's so sad. But, I just was able to... I didn't use Comet as a combat dog, so to speak, but I think that you could, so long as every single person in the party isn't a Dritz Dordan knockoff and has two Panthers and whatever else. And I had a lot of fun with this dog. I just role-played with him. You know, while I'm talking to somebody in a tavern and stuff, I would be throwing my pet, like, potatoes. That was a big thing. The dog liked potatoes for some reason. I'd throw him a sliced potato, and he would eat it. And we would just do, like, little interactions. And the GM, as long as... if the GM takes a part in it, like, it's so cool when the GM is in control of your pet NPCs. And not you. And they, because that way they don't do things that you always expect them to do. They're just not remote control attack drones. Dan?
Which I guess is true, but of course now you're kind of moving not into player controlled, you know, secondary or third or tertiary PCs, but now into NPC retainers, which, yeah, that I have certainly no problem with. Now, on the a good side, I have seen some of these things played very well. And I think having a retainer or a second person or third person you play can offer two things. One is they can round out the party. I mean, let's face it, just in terms of raw abilities. If you've got a party that has three fighters, you can throw in an NPC healer. It's cheesy. It's not typically what we recommend, but nonetheless, there you go.
It's either that or a big chest of healing potions.
Yeah, the second thing is that it also allows you to develop an additional personality, if you can do it well. If you're an experienced role player or a good character actor, where you can head bounce divergent personalities very quickly, you can pull it off. I mean, and it can add a lot of color, and it's a fun challenge. Years ago, we loved to write our own role-playing games, and we're going to do probably a whole series of podcasts on that eventually. We're thinking probably after the con season ends, so later this year. But we wrote from scratch a Transformers role-playing game based on the stat cards that came on the back of the Transformers boxes.
Don't steal our idea!
Yeah, we have just said it. It's now officially copyrighted. But anyway, when we were playing that, I was GMing, and despite GMing, because we were rotating GMs a little bit, I was playing a PC group of five Transformers that were a merger, like something like Devastator. You know, it's five robots that formed one bigger robot. And at the end of the game, I mean, not to toot my own horn, but one of the other players, you know, is complimenting me, saying he did a really good job with that, just giving them each a different personality and still displaying those personalities. So let me use that to segue into some advice I have on how to do this right. First of all, limit the number of characters you're doing. Don't try to do more than you can handle. If you've never done this before, do two. Don't hop in with 15 of them and expect it to go well. Anna, do you want to?
Yeah. And the second, the biggest piece of advice I can give for it is play your character for what it is. The guy that we had was a refugee. He was not a fighter. It was not a situation where he joined us because he believed in what we were doing. He had nowhere else to go, and
we took him in,
and we would watch his back, but we wouldn't send him into the cave. When combat happened, he would disappear. It wasn't a stat bonus. So you need to treat him for the individual that he is.
Yeah, I mean, definitely play him realistically like that as well. It's another very important thing. And if you're going to bring him into combat, you know, treat him as this is a living individual who has his own desires, and his desire is not to die in your place.
You can't send him into the cave to set off traps. Who would do that?
Yeah. The chaotic evil party with the insane and retarded henchmen, I guess. Gee, that's a lot of campaigns I'm in.
The other piece of advice I would give is when you're writing up these characters, make sure that the personalities are something that you relate to well enough and are simpler enough that you can bounce heads easily. If you're playing one character, we'd say take it as deep as you can get. Make them nuanced, make them conflicted. But if you're trying to play two or three characters, you can't work through that kind of nuance. So I wouldn't say go all the way to the opposite extreme and just make me, Thor, Smash sort of stereotypes. But come up with simple two or three line personalities where they're colorful, but you can move between them very quickly, just assuming different voices. And by voices, I don't mean fake accents. I mean storytelling voices. You can assume different perspectives very quickly to get them all worked in.
That sounds good.
Okay. So there's a little bit of advice on how to make multiple characters work. Mushed in with our story about Gen Con. Chad, you have something else?
I I want to add one thing at the end, but I don't know if you were ready to wrap it up or not.
Go ahead.
Okay. One thing before we wrap it up is I want to mention that we have decided to make a World of Warcraft guild for Fear the Boot listeners, or really anybody who wants to join us. We have like five people now. We just started it 2 days ago, and we don't need signatures on our charter. What we need are people who are interested in playing World of Warcraft with us. And if you're a Fear the Boot listener and you have a World of Warcraft account or getting into World of Warcraft and you want to play with some like-minded people, join us. We are playing Alliance side. We are playing on the Black Hand PvE server. If you want to join us, send an in-game mail to Busson, B-U-S-O-N, that's my character, and I'm getting the organization going for the charter, and then I'm going to hand it off to a guy named Stunning, and he's going to be our guild master, and we're going to bash out our sort of guild charter and all the things we go from there. This is going to be a generally a casual guild, a social guild, again, like-minded people playing and having fun.
There's a thread up on the Fear of the Boot forums, if you haven't checked that out yet, and if you want in, just post there and we'll make sure that you get the information that you need.
Like I said, we should be having fun. It's going to be a casual guild. If we get a huge response to this, then great, then we're a huge guild and we're gonna kick MC in the nuts. But generally what we're shooting for is just a casual social guild, again, of like-minded people who want to play WoW and have fun. And just again, the information on that is the Black Hand server, Alliance side, to PvE server, and send a tell or an in-game mail to Busson, B-U-S-O-N, or Stunning, S-T-U-N-I-N-G, and or failing that, go to our Fear the Boot forums, and we should have a thread up. It's a private thread now, but when we get home, let's make that a public thread. And go ahead and just post in the forums, and then we'll get to you, and we'll get this thing organized. So I'll hand it back to Dan.
Yeah, I'm not involved in this just yet, but I will probably get involved with it later on. I'm just personally just too busy right now. But yeah, these are some great guys to run with, and I did have some fun with World of Warcraft when I was playing it. Got burnt out because of some guild drama and such, but this is not an MMO podcast, so we're not going to carry on about that right now. But point being, yeah, definitely check that out if you can. And I guess we will wrap up this episode. I apologize for the fact that obviously there's a difference in sound quality and things like that, because we're just recording this in a car driving down Interstate 70, so which is probably not real safe. But
I wonder, well, it probably isn't. But I was going to say, is this the world's first 70-mile-an-hour RPG podcast?
You know, RPG podcasts, maybe. There are a lot of traveling podcasts, and I'm sure the traveling podcasts have recorded their stuff in planes and cars, wherever. But this is the first, I don't know, I'm sure there's, somebody's going to email us and say, you know what, such
well,
and such podcast.
Traveling gamer. I don't know if he does his from the car, but I think he's the one who did it from Europe and stuff like that. So I wish I could give you guys his website address, but being in the car, we just don't have that information with us right now.
Right, so we'll go ahead and wrap this up with our traditional
see ya.